chapter number 18. We're going to try to read here in a minute. Keeping the sound man busy. Got to get a dry one. First Kings 18, stand please. We'll start reading at verse number 36. We'll back up and get some of that as we preach in a few minutes. But in verse number 36, and you're familiar with the story of Elijah on the Mount of Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And last week we tried to share some things with you concerning the necessity of revival. I better not get into that right now. We'll be standing here too long. But verse number 36, 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for thou's a sound of abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head. Father, just for a few minutes, I pray you'd help me now. I need that divine touch of God. I need illumination of the Holy Spirit. God, help me to think and help me be able to say what I need to say. I want to preach today with the unction of God on me. And I ask you, Lord, to help me. I stand here as a needy creature, and I need that divine touch of God. And thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. Now, take the word of God, speak to every listening heart. I pray you convict the unsaved, draw them to Jesus, and encourage your people. And I pray bring us where we need to be. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, God, have real revival. We'll thank you and praise you in what you do. We plead the blood, claim the victory in Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, last week, as I tried to pick up on the necessity of revival, I talked about so the glory won't depart. And this morning, we were reminded again about that glory. And it's not always in the shout. We understand that. But I'm glad that there's still times we can shout and praise God, have joy in our soul. And Brother Cox stood and testified a while ago. I praise God for that. I praise God for all those who have done that. We sometimes get in services and we get kind of set, and we don't want to be the first one, and we don't want to afraid to draw attention to ourselves or whatever it may be. But Jesus is worthy of all of our praise, and it's not Brother Cox, and it's not Brother Mark, it's not our dear brother, but it's God that's been exalted and lifted up, and he's the one that deserves all the glory and all the honor. And surely we don't want the glory to depart. I don't want to be in services where God's not around and where the presence is not felt and not experienced, and people come in and go out and they never know that touch of God on their life. I pray that God never let us get that place. We need revival because of that. We talked about we need revival so the glory won't depart, but so that we won't hinder God from doing what he wants to do. And we certainly, they tempted God and turned back, Psalm 78:41 said. And because they didn't believe God, they wouldn't believe him going to Canaan. I don't want us to get in that shape. I don't want to make Jesus dissatisfied with us and spew us, as it were, out of his mouth. I don't want that. I don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes. And we must have revival, because there's going to be some people go to hell if we don't have real revival, that they could have been reached had real revival come and power of God had manifested himself, and we as his people would have let him work in us and through us and let him guide us and direct us, people could have been saved. I believe that with all of our hearts. Now, I'm not saying that revival is people getting saved. People getting saved is a byproduct of real revival. It's something that comes after we get our hearts right and we're praying, we're believing, we're doing what God wants us to do. Then real revival comes. God speaks to hearts. People get saved. I'm glad God's still in the saving business. God will still save sinners that will come and repent. But I want to talk about the need of the hour right now, just for a moment, a few minutes anyway. And we're going to look at some things here said in the scripture and pray that God would help us with this. There's a choice to be made. Now, every one of us has a choice to make. I want you to look in verse number 27. Verse number 27. I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 21 if I can find it. Verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now, he made some statements here. He said, now, let's make a choice. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then let's follow him. But if Baal be God, then let's follow him. Did you know why he made it so plain? There wasn't any question about what he was saying. They didn't have to scratch your head and say, now I wonder what he meant by that. He made it very plain. If God be God, then let's just do what God says. Let's follow God. If he's not God, then let's follow Baal. And I want to say this morning as we enter into this time of revival meeting that I want to cry to you that if God be God, then let's follow him. If we really believe that God's God, let's let him be God in our lives. Let's let him be God in this revival meeting. Let's trust him fully. Let's believe him for some things. Let's let him do what he wants to do. We need to put God first. We need to put his church first. We need to put his work first. And we need to set everything else aside that we possibly can this week and say we're here meeting in God's house to have revival. And we are making a choice. Everybody in this house will make a choice about this week. And you'll just say, I'm going to put my all into it. I'm going to let God help me. I'm going to pray that God will help the church and that God send revival and God will reach out in the community and get people. Or else we'll make a choice that, well, we're not going to take it too seriously. We're not going to get too serious about it. And we may stay at home or we may go do something else. But we're going to make a choice about this thing, about revival. I want God send, I made a choice, amen. And he's saying to me, you need to make a choice. I'm challenging you today to make a choice about this meeting. We make a choice that we're going to make this choice, literally make it. And we want God to help us. And we're going to put God first in our lives and trust him for it. Let some other things go. And Abby, I know people have to work. I know people have things to do. I know people have problems and situations and we need to deal with. But it may be skipping a meal. It may be eating a sandwich. It may be coming in a run. It may be whatever. But get here for the glory of God and come praying during the day. Pray and trust God for it. Make a choice that we really want to see revival. Amen. In Gateway Baptist Church. I want to start here. I hope it reaches out and goes out in the community and area and people get saved, folk get right. Boy, I'd love to see them coming in crying out, what must I do to be saved? Help me. Help me. I've had them come in and do that. I want to see it again. I pray that God would help us get in that position, that place where we can see that happen. But I want to show you secondly, there's a conclusion that we bring from all of this that can be drawn from this that we read here in the Word of God and is right before this also. And I pray that you'll see this and God would help us with it. Look at verse 27. I started to get to it a while ago. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's on a journey. Preadventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened. He told the prophets of Baal, he said, now, You cry to your God. He may be asleep. You need to wake him up. It may be that he's on a journey and you need to call him back. It may be that he's busy doing something. He can't get you and he's not hearing you. So he's mocking them and making fun. Really, literally mocking. And you know why? Because his complete faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God, and what was going to happen here. And it was going to be God or nothing. He realized the fact that he could not do it. He realized the fact that Baal could not do it. And either God was going to move on the scene or nothing was going to happen. And so he was mocking the prophets of Baal and making fun. You remember when John the Baptist came out preaching and he's wiping wild honey out of his mouth and girded in leather, and he was preaching by the banks of Jordan. The crowd came out to hear him, and the Pharisees, and they got there, and boy, had a crowd. And he said, "Repent." And then he said, "You generation of vipers," and called them snakes, and made fun of them, and told them where they were. And he didn't want any of this false stuff. He didn't want any compromise. He didn't want any of this thing putting on a show. It repent or else. It was real repentance, really getting right with God, or else it wasn't going to happen. And John the Baptist knew that. He'd making a cry about that. But now I want you to look at verse number 30. And Elijah, this is back in our text now, and Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And don't we need to repair our altars that's broken down? We need to have some altars of prayer, places where we pray, places where we get with God, get in tune with heaven, and cry unto God to help us. And he repaired the altar. Well, we need the altar repair. Hey, by the way, I'm saying this about the altars in our personal lives, where that may be. It may be in a bedroom, a bathroom. It may be in the kitchen. It may be out behind the barn. It may be in the woods. Wherever it is, but we got an altar somewhere that we pray and get a hold of God. Let's make sure that altar's in use and repaired and put back in place. And then let's let the altar at the house of God be used. Yeah, amen. But we need that old time concern about getting to the altar. It's refreshing this morning to see people coming and praying. We see that once in a while. But boy, this altar needs to be used. It's a place. You know what an altar is? It's a place of death where sacrifice was made and death came. We need to get on the altar. And Paul said, "I die daily." And on the altar, we lay ourselves down. We say, "God, here we are." And we want to die out to ourselves. And we want you to have your way. We want you to get glory. We want you to take us and use us. And it's that altar is important to us. And I'm crying to you today that we let God help us in the altar here. And listen, people going to hell, people without God. And sometimes we need to come in their place. And we can't get saved for them. We can't do that for them. But we can come in behalf of them and cry to God, "God, help them. God, help them." And do something for them. And I believe that God will hear that kind of prayer. And he'll do something about it. We need to die out to ourselves and let God have his way. Let God do what he wants to do for us. Look in verse number 32. And the last part of that verse is a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." They did it the second time. He said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. Water ran around about the altar and filled the trench also with water. Now here he is. He said, "Repair the altar." Took a stone. If you read closely, he took 12 stones, built the altar, and put everything in place for the 12 tribes of Israel. And our foundation's good. The altar's there. And we need to use that altar. We got a high priest in heaven that's interceding for us. And so we got that in order. And he said for us to do that. And then he said he dug a trench around the altar. And he set a trench around it as would hold 2 measures of seed. It's like putting 2 rows of corn. And made that trench around there. And then said, "Get some water and pour it on the sacrifice." So he put the wood on, that's the cross, and the cross. Hey, God forbid our glory save in the cross. And then said, put the burnt sacrifice on it. Get the bullet cut in pieces, and I'll cut it and lay it on there, a type of the Lord Jesus. And then got to have Jesus in his place. Got to have the cross in its place. Got to have the altar in its place. Everything has to be in its place. And then he said, pour the water on. Pour the water on. And now get the picture, if you will, please. The prophets of Baal have tried to get fire from heaven on their burnt sacrifice, and they couldn't get any fire. And they cut themselves. They jumped up and down. They cried. They pled. They did everything they could do, and they couldn't get any fire. And here Elijah is with his altar and his sacrifice, and he's wanting fire of God to come. And he says, pour water on it. Pour water on it. Hey, if you want fire, you don't put water on it. But he is doing something. He's making a point. He wants this to be no question about it. It's not going to be the sun shining down and caught something on fire. It's not going to be some kind of a trick. It's not going to be a slave hand. If anything happens here, God's going to get the glory for it. It's going to have to be God or nothing. Hey, I believe today we ought to reach a point in our lives where we want God or nothing. We want God to do it or nothing. Amen. I don't want just to come in, have preaching and have singing and go home. I want God to do something. I don't want to do something, have something that's false. I don't have some kind of a man-made something, some kind of worked up something. I want God to breathe on this place and God to come by in power and demonstration, and there'll be no question about it. Was God came through. It was God did that. God did something for us, pouring that water on. Pictures of the Holy Ghost. He's pictured as water in the Bible, and running water, the Holy Ghost power. And we need Holy Ghost power. Now listen, I am a Baptist, but I believe in Holy Ghost power. Amen. 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 I don't want somebody, a false doctrine out here somewhere, steal that away from us. We still need that supernatural working of a holy God that does something that you and I can't explain and works in hearts and bring conviction. Why is it some folk can come in and sit down, nothing bothers them, they've hardened their heart, and they're against, but some other body else come in and God the Holy Ghost get a hold of them, squeeze them real good, and they'll get to shaking and trembling and getting the Holy Ghost conviction. And boy, I like it when it gets like that. Amen. I don't like to see them come down the altar blowing bubbles and chewing bubble gum. I like to see them come, tears are running, and them are crying out to God, I need some help. I need some help. Amen. Hey, we need some of that kind. I can't work it up, and I can't make it happen. I can't bag it out of people. I can't do something just to make it happen. Tell you a story about a dog got killed or some kind of sad something and get you all to it. That won't do you any good. I want you to know today what we need. We need God to move on the scene. Power of the Holy Ghost to come. I need that, and I'm getting a little bit of preaching in me right now. Amen. I need that. I need that touch of God on my life. I need more than just getting up here saying some word. We need God to move on the scene, and God the Holy Ghost to do a work in some hearts and life and tie us up and get us where we ought to be. Amen. And I don't want to just come in and have church and say it's time to go home and let it go like that. I want to see God do something in our hearts and God do something in our lives and see people get right with God and see people come. And I want to see my heart touched and my life move so that God can use me, but I want God to use you in a mighty way, that God will get a hold of your heart, your life, and tear you up, as it were, and get you messed up. And boy, we need to get messed up ourselves and mess up our little plans and mess up our thoughts and let God just get in it and God do what he wants to do. And God may have you have a running fit. I don't know. If he does have one, God may want you to raise your hand and say amen. If he does, do it. Amen. If God wants you to turn flips, do that, but make sure God's in it. One preacher said, stand on your head and gargle peanut butter if that's what he wants you to do. But that may not be what he wants you to do. Maybe he wants you to be praying for somebody. Maybe he wants you to invite somebody. Maybe he wants you to get in the service and say, God help somebody. Maybe he wants you to just pour your life into it. And God does want us to put it all into it, not just haphazardly,
do something. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this. I'll get there in a minute. But I'm telling you right now, we need to get this in our minds that there's a choice to be made. Elijah came to him and said, "Now, how long halt you between two opinions? Now, if you're halting between two opinions, get it settled. God's God, and we want revival. It's not a question about it. It's not any debate about it. We want revival. Number two, that it's God or nothing. It's going to be God or nothing. And Brother Chris Grinstead can't bring it. I can't work it up. I can't make it happen. But we got a great God that can. Amen. Amen. Now, the third thing, I want you to get this. Here's where I'm really wanting to get to today, and I couldn't get away from this. God stirred my heart about it. Tonight I'll even try to follow up on something else, not the same message, but something else that'll go along the same line. But I pray God will help us, because I want us to get to a place where we see God, really get a hold of some hearts. There's some people I want to see get saved. There's some folk I want to see get right with God. There's some people that's got family that's hurting. And I've already wept over them. I'm still weeping. And I want to see them get some help. I want to see God get a hold of some hearts. I want to see God manifest himself, that he get the glory, that he get a hold of their hearts and bring them in. I don't know where they are, and I don't know what they're doing. But I know a God that does know. I know a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. There's a God in heaven that can go into places where they are, and somehow they get to thinking about church, or they get to thinking about God. And I'm sure Brother Gary Tenyon wouldn't mind me saying this. He's told it in the prayer room, and got a son that's not where he needs to be with God. He said they've been talking a little bit, and said his son called him the other day and said, "Daddy," said, "I just want you to know I've been in a tree stand here deer hunting," and said, "I'm just thinking about God." Said, "I just looked around and I thought about the handiwork of God." And said, "Son, what else you been thinking about?" He said, "Well, I've been thinking about church. I've been thinking about all that." Of course, Brother Tenyon about to come unglued about that time. I tell you, you know what happened in that tree stand? God got there. Somebody praying, somebody getting a hold of God. God got in a tree stand, no boy got tore up. He got thinking about it, he got thinking about God, he got thinking about the church, he got thinking about what's going on. And he wanted to call his daddy and tell him, I say to you, friend, you and I have got people that we're concerned about, that we're weeping over, that we're praying for, and God can get where they are and get a hold of their hearts and do something for them. Amen. But I want you to show you what Elijah did. Here's what really got to me. Here's what I really want to show you today. I'm trying to lead up to it. But look at, in the text I read, came to pass at the time of the evening, the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel." Now, first of all, he started out his prayer. He wanted to be sure they knew which God he's talking to. He wasn't talking to some false god. He wasn't talking to somebody representing Baal. He's talking to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's talking to Jehovah God. He's talking to the real God. He began his prayer and started praying. And here's a communion that he was having. He said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel," that he said, "let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel." Now look down in verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God." He's saying, "Now, I want everybody to know that you're God." And he said, "Now, Lord God, I want you to be manifested. I want them to know that you're God." And his desire was, and his prayer was, it wasn't selfish, it wasn't anything to do. He said, "I want them to know that you're God. I want this community to know that there's a God in heaven. I want your family to know there's a God in heaven. I want my family to know there's a God in heaven. I want everybody around us to know there's a God in heaven. And I want them to be aware of the reality of believing God that can do things and that God's presence can be real and do something for them. And so here he is, and he's praying that prayer. And he's saying, I want to know there's a God in heaven. But notice what else he's saying. He said that I am thy servant. I've done all these things at thy word. He said, I want to know that you're God. I want to know I'm your servant. And whatever I'm doing, it's in accordance to your will for your glory. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. It's people know that God, thou hast turned their heart back again. He said, I want you to do these things. I want you to magnify yourself. I want you to let them know that you're God. Then I want you to let them know I'm your servant. And then I want you to turn their heart back and they'll know that you did it. I say hallelujah. That's a revival right there. If God will turn our hearts back to him, hallelujah, that's revival. That is revival. Then the Bible says, then the fire fell. He prayed, simple prayer, but he wanted God to get glory. He wanted them to know he's his servant, and it wasn't anything he's doing, it's God doing it. And the fire fell and burned up everything. Licked up the water, licked up the, and burned up the wood, the sacrifice, the stuff, and licked up the water around it. When it got through, the people cried and said, the Lord, he's God. The Lord, he's God. The Lord, he's God. Then God said, or Elijah told Ahab, he said, get up. Better get on your way. There's a sound of abundance of rain. It had been a drought for 3.5 years, but the fire fell, and God said, now there's going to be some rain. I say to us here at Gateway, let's let the fire fall. Let's pray for the fire to fall. Let's make sure we're praying for God's glory, God's honor. I want to see people saved, not so I'm running around and say, well, we had 10 saved, or so many got saved, or so many did this, so many did that, and boy, we had a time, people did this, people. I want to go away saying, God did something. God did something. That's revival, when God does it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to think about God doing what you want to do. Lord, in this house, these folk here that they're hurting. But thank you, Lord, there's a God in heaven that hears an anxious prayer. Lord, I'm praying in Jesus' name the fire fall, the power come through, Holy Ghost move, people get right, our hearts be turned back unto God, and that you be glorified, and that people know thou art God. God is at work. I pray today you'd help all of us, God, examine ourselves and see ourselves like we are. May the Holy Spirit deal in our hearts and help us respond like you want us to respond. And Lord, today, that we may let you help us repair the altars. God, use them for your glory. Get on and plead to God to help. Plead for others to get saved and get right with God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.